Birmingham Sports.
Hello and welcome to the Verulam Sport Podcast. Every week, the team behind the award-winning Radio Verulam Sports Show will provide you with the most relevant news from the local and regional sporting scenes, whilst keeping you in the picture with national and international bulletins from the world of sport. There will be topical debates, regular interviews from local talent, and chats with those big-name guests that are a mainstay of Verulam Sport. As always, this is your show, every bit as much as it is ours. So, check out Verulam Sport across social media and get involved. For now, prepare yourself for this week's action-packed Verulam Sport Podcast. Hello and welcome again to Verulam Sport Podcasting. And I tell you what, fans of sports, I tell you what, I bet you're watching the golf in awe this weekend, the first major of the year. Protracted as it has been, and what an epic. Congratulations go to the victor,
Colin Morikawa.
Only 23 years of age, he showed great nerves and great skill to prevail, but my goodness me, what a field, what a packed field, what an intense last day, and what a great major it was. To unpick it now with me, we're lucky to be joined by St. Albans' own European Tour Golf referee, Gary Tate. Gary, how are you?
Hi, Tony. Hi, everyone. Yeah, I'm fine. Thank you.
Hey, top man. And I tell you what a top event. The first major of this surreal year of 2020. But what a major it was. So much to talk about. But just briefly, your thoughts on the victor, 23-year-old Colin Morikawa. Only his second major. It's not a bad win to playing ratio, is it?
No, not bad at all for the young lad. He's another good stat I've heard about him. It's, he's won more golf tournaments on the PGA Tour than he's missed halfway cuts since he's reached the top level. So that's an incredible stat. He's very consistent. He's been there and thereabouts. He's already won once on the restart to golf at the Travelers Championship on the PGA Tour. And I don't think anyone's that surprised that he was knocking at the door in a major.
No, but absolutely. But credit to him because he held his nerve because there were so many class players breathing down. So many could have won it. But of course, like Highlander, there can only be one. And it was the young 23-year-old who held his nerve. And he just played with such imagination and such skill. I mean, talk to me about the prowess that he displayed with that Eagle 2, par 4, on the 16th, which arguably sealed the deal.
Yeah, I mean, what a time to drive a par 4 and knock it to 7 feet and then roll in the putt to give yourself a two-shot cushion with 2 holes to play. I mean, absolutely perfect. Not the longest hitter. I know we've spoken about length in golf, so here's one to hit back at all the complaints about golf being a boomer's game. Not the longest hitter in modern golf. Slow ball speed, 170 mile an hour, which is not anywhere up near the likes of Mr. Johnson and Mr. McIlroy, but here, didn't he just hit the perfect tee shot on that 16? It just pitched just short of the green, just jumped up onto the front edge, straightened up a little bit, finished 7 foot away. In you go for a two, and the rest, as I say, is history. So, yeah, he did well, but that was an incredible shot and a great time on the golf course to have a drivable par four where an eagle can come or a bogey can take you out of contention. So it was nicely set up by the USPGA to have a good finish, and I bet they're delighted with their tournament.
You know, they really were fantastic, and I want to give credit to them. I think you made a great point there. I guess on that level, just give us your intake as a man who's toured the world, European Tour golf referee, as you are. Know the kind of topography of golf courses incredibly well. What was your impression of the overall, the Heading Park course? The Harding Park course, which of course was the setting for this unbelievable piece of sporting theatre. Six players in contention, tied for the lead, no less, going into the back nine of the final round. Just give us an insight from your learned perspective of the course and the quality that offered for such a quality field.
Well, it's a very good golf course on the west coast of California. It's been used many times before for majors and World Golf Championships. I think they even held the President's Cup there back in the day, where the USA take on the rest of the world in the non-Ryder Cup. Yeah, so its pedigree is up there to see. And there has to be the best golf courses for the best players in the world. A tough test. and correct sort of scoring 10, 11, 12, 13 under. Probably as much as you want, and good a good chance on the last day for lots of birdies. So the course was certainly prepared with tee positions and hole lengths to be scoreable on the last day. Three under was quite an average score on the last day, and that's something that you would normally be happy to shoot on the last day of a major and hold on to victory.
Absolutely. I really appreciate your insights there. And again, credit to Young, 23-year-old, claims the Wanamaker trophy, and I'm sure that could well be the first of many for that young man. A player at the other end of his career spectrum, Paul Casey. First of all, I want to give him massive credit. I thought his four rounds were so consistent, and he was really, really challenging. Finished second, tied with Dustin Johnson, 11 under, just two off the lead. But we spoke about that win to game or tournament ratio for Morawaka. Kind of compare and contrast, isn't it, with England's Casey, who is still waiting for his first major, his first victory in a player championship or world golf championship, despite always being there or thereabouts, despite being many times a world number one player, a Ryder Cup winner. It's been a great career, great CV. But do you get the feeling, perhaps, Gary, that this could have been his last greatest opportunity to claim a major in this incredibly packed, incredibly talent-rich golfing world?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a game necessarily stuck to the age, although there is a lot of new talent coming through, and it is all in the mind. So if the body's fit, I mean, someone like him could still do well. But once you get into your early 40s, I suppose it's not as easy. But just goes to show he came close on the weekend there, and perhaps never say never.
He spoke so eloquently and very passionately about his relationship with his caddy and how he's returned to him and how important that was. You know, they just seem to enjoy the weekend of the four rounds, and that came across in the golf. I really hope that they can build on that, because, you know, golfers are ultimately defined by majors, or at least victories at these kind of high-end, high-echelon events, the Players' Championship, the World Golf Championships. And no one can dispute Casey's career. It would be churlish and wrong to do that. But nevertheless, there will always be those question marks. And I hope that he can build on this wonderful relationship with his caddy and maybe just eke out one of those before it's all said and done.
Yeah, I think they were a good team. I mean, except two Englishmen together. And I think with a lockdown situation, I think John had to, his caddy, Paul Casey's caddy, had to isolate for a couple of weeks before even joining him into work for him. So I think it was probably just a friendship, and it was meeting up with an old friend and allowed them to express themselves on the golf course.
Yeah, I just think they just had such joy in their faces and so close. It was a great effort for the Englishman. And so many great contenders, though. Really looking forward to unpacking it with you. But just quickly, I just have so much admiration for Justin Rose, who, of course, has a major. 2013, it was the Masters, I believe, that he bagged. So, you know, he's already got that on his CV. 9 under he finished, but again, so consistent. He strikes me as just one of those guys who, when it comes to the big day, has always got that ability to put himself in contention. And that's really all you want, because golf is such a game of, you know, just, it's almost staggering sometimes how you can go from a hero to a zero. Look at Spieth, for instance. And I just have so much admiration for Justin Rose. And I bang the drum all the time. There was a podcast we did recently. We analysed unsung sporting heroes. For me, Justin does not get enough praise. And I know I say that nearly every time we chat, Gary, but just quickly your thoughts on that consistent Englishman.
Yeah, I mean, he's still playing well. Fast approaching those early 40s as well, though. So, I mean, he's been around a long time and has featured in a lot of golf tournaments. And as was, I think it was the US Open he picked up.
You're dead right, you're dead right.
At the Merion Club. But, a very talented player. Last year, he got a bit of a pickle because he ended up changing golf club manufacturers, and it didn't seem to work out for him. So he moved on from that. So he's obviously come out of the lockdown situation playing well and happy with his golf equipment. And there's still plenty of life in that youngish old dog, for sure. And I know you're a big favourite of his.
Yeah, absolutely. I just have so much admiration for him. I just love the way he plays. And again, that consistency. For me, that consistency is the emblem of all great sports stars and athletes, always giving himself a chance at the business end of the major tournaments. But so many young stars emerging. Impressed by young Matt Wolf. Really was. 10 under, just three off the lead. And I tell you what, if his putter was hot on Sunday, it could have been his name on the title. 10 under, though, a name to conjure with, I think, for the future. And my goodness me, you talk about boomers, as we often do. Deschamps, my word, how does he get it so straight for the boom that he unleashes from the drive? Surely, Matt Wolf and Deschamps are future major winners.
Yeah, absolutely. Both with unusual techniques, not absolutely classic techniques and approach to the game, but the outcome is not to be mistaken for poor with scores like that on a regular basis. I mean, they're both very exciting new players and possibly part of a new guard, along with maybe Cameron Ciampa, who finished in 10th place at Arden Park. These could be some of the new young Turks to rival Mr. McElroy, Mr. Johnson, and Mr. Spieth. So we'll see how the world golf goes, but it'll be interesting in the next majors at Wingfoot how those guys go. So roll on September.
Another player who's leading this new guard faded on Sunday, surprisingly, given his overall record. I'm talking about Koepka, of course. He was bidding for a three-peat, as the Americans like to say. He would have achieved an astonishing record had he held his nerve or performed a little better than he did. He faded on the Sunday. Because I think if he had claimed the Wanamaker Trophy, he would have surpassed some great names as the kind of youngest from Major 1 to Major 5. He's already got, of course, those four in the locker. But Koepka, faded Sunday. People kind of find him a bit divisive. I just find him quite an honest man, aware of his own game. I know he does tend to sometimes run his mouth, but usually he puts his money where that mouth is. He's going to always be in contention. I'll tell you what, it is an exciting new breed of players coming through, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, only two or three years ago, he was the new star of the future. And after a couple of major wins and some reputation about set speaking his mind, he's become the old stager of world golf. But he's had a tricky start to the year. I don't think the break in play has done him any harm, but he's not been playing his best. And when you're number one, that's a tough way down from there. So fair play to him. He's a tremendous player. I think you're right. He's a regular, honest sort of guy. He will no doubt continue to perform when he gets to this little dip in form. But a good finish, a good play during the week at Arden Park, but it's a poorish finish on a low scoring last day that meant if you weren't three or four under, you were going backwards, which is not what you'd strategise for in the last round of a major.
Yeah, right from the opening drive of that final round from Koepka's perspective, never quite looked like he was at peace with himself or his game, which is unusual because usually it's in that last round when he really ratchets it up and kind of seizes the day. But he will have other days, no question about it. Again, we want to heap massive praise on the winner, 23-year-old Colin Morawiecka. Again, great effort, consistent, and again, showing great nerve to manage the course and to master the course, arguably. But one of the great narratives coming out of this was another young player, Hao Teng Li from China, who actually led going into the Saturday after round two. He did fade, finished on a credible 6 under par, but wasn't really heralded. But interesting, of course, that he was, I think, the first man from China to lead a major going into the business end of the tournament. Your thoughts on him and how he could well inspire this nation of China and indeed the whole Asian continent, eager for sporting success as they are?
Yeah, those of us on the European tour well know Hao Teng Li. He's a very, very interesting character, a young guy, prodigious talent, very funny guy, very engaging, and has played a lot of good golf in Europe and is now moving onto the world stage. I think his lack of hitting fairways maybe brought his downfall in the USPGA, where I think his putter was on fire in the early rounds, but eventually, when you start missing fairways, you might start dropping shots, and he couldn't keep it up, and the putter went cooler on him. But yeah, tremendous for a big golfing nation like China. I'm surprised they've not produced a good few more players out on the world stage yet. But he's certainly a good addition to any tour that he plays on. We like having him over in Europe, and I'm delighted to see him show at the majors.
I've seen another young man who plays with a smile on his face. I really liked his kind of attitude around the course. And even when things weren't quite going his way, still kept that going. I think there's a high, strong future for that young man. I really, really do. Before we move on, talking about two players who are perennially contenders McIlroy, major winners multiple occasions. Tiger Wood, of course, just four away from kind of becoming the greatest all time, at least from a major winning perspective. Both fairly mediocre championships. Tiger came in very undercooked, wrestled his way around the course, finished two under. McIlroy also finished two under. Interesting article coming out over the last few days about McIlroy, where he almost feels as though maybe his best years are behind him, despite still being a major player. Just your thoughts quickly on the performances at this major of those two greats, and then projecting their prospects in this new world order of the uber competitive world of golf.
Yeah, well, so it's a very single-minded game. You know, you're playing against 143 other people every week, so it's a very single-minded game. So it's something that when the confidence goes, even just two or three shots here or there, it can cause you to slip away every week. And once you start playing poorly, it can be a sort of vicious cycle. But those guys are still world-class players. Mm-hmm. I don't think possibly they're maybe... they're playing as much as they used to. Certainly in Tiger's case, he's battling against, I think, fitness is still there, and he doesn't play a full schedule. Rory picks a very classic and sort of majors-centric sort of schedule that he plays on. But if he said that in an interview, I've not heard that that interview, but that's interesting because I think he's still got heavy confidence in his own game to do well, and now he'll be loving the Masters coming up in November.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind both of those superstars will be shining bright for many years to come, no questions asked. Excuse me. Coming back though to the emerging superstar,
Colin Morikawa.
Again, one major before this. This is only his second major, claims the Wanamaker Trophy, played sublime golf. He really has a great future ahead of him, doesn't he? And again, he will no doubt inspire that next generation. Just in closing, Gary, your thoughts on Colin's efforts at this wonderful course, claiming his first major, and then for him as we proceed onto the rest of this year and beyond.
Well, so a guy coming into the tournament with form, age way above his years, 23. A young winner, but not unexpected, and in form, and a very, very good player, one of very many good players in a very competitive major to start the year. So I think a very confident person going forward from that with such a win and such a style that I think it's just going to go from good to better for him. Although he's now at the top of the pile, and it's expected of him now. So that's how he performs. With the expectation on him, but I do think he'll be a leading light for the rest of this year and years to come.
You're really right there. It does change the psychology, doesn't it? And obviously that is something he's going to have to deal with and manage. We'll watch this space. He's certainly got the game to be a perennial contender. Just final question, Gary. Always appreciate your time and really, really value your expert analysis here. Whilst obviously the eyes of the golfing world were on this first major of 2020, here in our local area, where I believe there was another reasonably important tournament going on this weekend. I think, was it the English Championship? And who prevailed in that one?
Yeah, the European Tours had a comeback to golf after a couple of test tournaments in Austria. And we're now halfway through the UK Swing, which is six UK-based tournaments. To play some golf, televised golf at the professional ranks. And we've just finished number three, the English Championship at the beautiful Hanbury Manor in near Ware, where the suntan that you can't see comes from. Last week I was working there, and that was played out in the most beautiful weather, and was won by an Englishman, Andy Sullivan, who shot 27 under par for four rounds and beat everyone by seven strokes. So, a great win. High-level golf played under the European Tour while the big boys are playing in the majors in America.
Hey, credit to that young man. And again, that's I tell you what, any time you set a score like that, you're setting yourself up with a world of confidence to build on it. Great effort there. And it's always just infinitely beyond a great effort to hear from you and appreciate, as we do, Gary, your learned inputs into the world of golf. I will bid you adieu for now. I look forward to picking things up with you very soon indeed. And just wish you and yours every continued joy and happiness in what remains still a challenging time for us all. Thanks again, Gary.